Okay, shared services with SUNY Canton is moving forward. As you all know, on the 20th of September, the Board of Trustees sent a mandate to President Kennedy and me to investigate shared services and to implement them where possible, in addition to putting together a report to be submitted no later than the 30th, I think, of March, regarding the advisability of a single presidency for the two institutions. President Kennedy and I have been working actively on this mandate, and we have a lot of conversations going on. Right now it feels like there's a lot of balls in the air, and keeping track of them sometimes is a challenge. The two main items to report is that we have initiated a search for a single chief financial officer for the two campuses. This search was effectively launched yesterday when I gave the charge to the committee. The committee consists of six folks from Canton, six folks from Potsdam, and of that, we have one faculty member from each campus, and we have one student from each campus, and they're sitting on the search committee. The job description was written by a similar committee and then given to President Kennedy and me, and the ads went out. Yes,
stupid question. Mm-hmm. Would Mike Lewis be at all? Does he want to go, or is it a
winter? He told me a year and a half ago that he wanted to retire. In many ways, he began his retirement a year ago. Right now, we have a special phased retirement agreement with Mike. He will his first retirement date was a year ago, and then we worked out this phased retirement to end on December 31st, 2011, and he's now indulging me in staying on into the summer whenever we can hire the replacement. So, you know, Mike is very clear. He loves us to pieces.
Bye-bye.
But bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, love you, bye-bye. Similarly, Chris Gray over at SUNY Canton is also on a retirement contract with that institution. So at some point in 2012, both positions would be vacant. And so we have that ad, which is out as of close of business yesterday. There were 15 applicants for the position. What I have done in collaboration with President Kennedy, and if I call him Joe here in the next few minutes, hours, please understand it is no disrespect. He and I are working very closely on all of this. He and I crafted a letter which I sent to all of the individuals who had applied for the position that we had here that we stopped back in September. What we did is we took those candidates who had become finalists on this campus, as well as about 15 folks who had applied a bit later in the process and whose credentials had not been fully vetted by our search committee at that point. And I sent a letter to all of those folks explaining to them that we had this new position, that it was going to be split between the two campuses, and that we would encourage their application. And so that letter went out to some 25, 30 people who were in the process for the old search. Once we are a bit further underway in the search right now for the chief financial officer, President Kennedy and I will be sending a letter to each of the applicants in which we outline essentially the two possibilities. One is that the Campus Alliance will proceed forward, that there will be a single president, and in that situation, this individual would be in charge of the financial operations of both campuses with a specific mandate during the first year of looking to see how the organizational structures of the two campuses, as they relate to financial and business affairs, might be modified. That's one scenario. The other scenario is if the Board of Trustees opt not to proceed with the Campus Alliance, but to proceed to have two presidents, then this position as a single chief financial officer for the two campuses would disappear, and it would become a chief financial officer only for the Potsdam campus. At this point, I don't really have the luxury of starting a new search. I have to get a vice president for business affairs during the course of this academic year. And so I am more than comfortable using this process in order to help this campus find a chief financial officer if the shared campus alliance does not go on. So So right now, Joe and I are working on a draft of a letter to be sent to all the candidates so that they understand the nuances of the position that they're applying to. At the same time, we also have an ad out on the street for a veterans coordinator. This is an area that SUNY Canton had initiated, and when we heard of it, we asked if we could join them. This is something which has been on our wish list, but in terms of funding it all by ourselves, we didn't quite see the benefit for it. But if we could do it with SUNY Canton, it seemed to be a really, really good match. What this individual will do is to advise veterans and also advise dependents of currently enlisted people about their benefits at attending the universities. This is not an admissions counselor. This is someone who will actually help the students who fall in those categories go through what is a very complicated web of benefits which is provided by the federal government to our veterans and also to the families of those who are currently serving. And so we're really excited about this. We think it can be of tremendous benefit to our region and obviously to our two campuses. And so that search is also underway, and it has a representation from both of the campuses. And it falls generally under Maggie's area, so if you have any questions about it, I'm sure she would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have about that position.
I'd be interested to know what the salary is.
It's an entry-level professional position, so it would be in the works.
And if the shared alliance, mm-hmm. if that doesn't happen, what happens to this person?
That position can still continue. Maggie, you and Carly, the provost at Canton have agreed that this is something that is valuable for both of us, regardless of what happens.
And it's not in writing yet, but we'll have sort of a memo of understanding about they'll spend 2 days on this campus and 2 days on that campus. And technically, the person will be employed at Canton. They have to have one supervisor, right. But there will be a mechanism for the person who is sort of quasi-supervising them here to have input into reappoint. So we're going to work all those. This is sort of a test case.
Right.
That we'll have all of those kinds of things in writing.
It's not unlike some of the things that we already do with other campuses, although with other campuses we do it on a cost recovery basis. For instance, on this campus we do not have a person who processes visas. All of the visa work for both students and faculty is done by SUNY Plattsburgh. So yes, certainly we could split a position with SUNY Plattsburgh in order to process visas and whatnot. It just, on that one, it works better to do it on a cost recovery basis. This one, because of the geography, it looks like it'll work well to have a single person. So that's very exciting. We now have ongoing conversations in purchasing to see if we can have potentially a single purchasing office. That group has met 1.5 times, shall we say. The vice presidents have met once specifically regarding that. The folks in purchasing have met once with their counterparts on Canton. Payroll is another area where we believe that we could have a single payroll office which would serve both campuses. On this campus, payroll is part of HR, and so it will be part of a larger conversation which our two HR departments are going to have. We've actually scheduled 3 meetings for HR, and unfortunately those meetings have not come to pass. But there is a desire on the part of Joe and myself to see if we can get our policies and procedures, especially in these 3 discrete areas of purchasing, payroll, and HR, lined up so that we can get some benefit of sharing efforts. Beyond that, one area where I think both President Kennedy and I are convinced that we could achieve collaboration very quickly is in institutional research. They have only one person in institutional research at SUNY Canton. She's a brand new employee. We over here have 3 people in institutional research. It's one of those areas where what they do is pretty much the same. You do NCAA reports, you do IPEDS reports, you do a National Survey of Student experience. You do the SUNY survey of student opinions. It's a pretty fixed calendar, and numbers is numbers. And if we could get more horsepower by combining our offices, both President Kennedy and I agree that this is really an exciting area. So there are some discussions going on there also. Beyond that, we get to some areas where there have been initial suggestions made, either at the presidential level or at the vice presidential level, where we should have some conversations, but not necessarily anything formal. One of these is that we might be able to work out an arrangement with SUNY Canton to assist them in cataloging in their library. We have a cataloger, if they don't. We might be able to, either on a cost recovery basis or a joint appointment or some other alliance, be able to assist one another. Similarly, in their sponsored programs and research office, they have one person. We have a slightly larger office. That one person is hard-pressed to do everything from grant preparation to grant administration to reporting at the end of the grant. Again, either through sharing positions or on a cost recovery basis, we might be able to get those two offices working closely together. The provost has begun conversations with her counterpart in Canton to see if there's some feasibility there. President Kennedy, both last year and this year, has suggested that we look at our police forces as a potential for collaboration. I have begun to have conversations on this campus with Chip Morris and with our chief, John Kaplan, in order to find out their feelings about it. The next phase will be for President Kennedy to meet and me to meet and begin talking about some of the specifics in the area of police. What I have found, and I think President Kennedy will probably second me, is that we've done a lot of this by email, and we've got a lot of ideas out there. I will tell you that email is an absolutely horrid way to communicate when you're dealing with issues like this, because there's a lot of nuance that's engaged in that discussion. So we have been talking past one another in email. So I have pledged to meet with Joe. I would like to meet with him once a week, if not certainly twice a week, so that we can just sit down face to face, talk about specifics. What is it that we're talking about? What level of collaboration? Is it bringing policies and procedures in line? Is it sharing personnel? Is it creating a single office? Where on those continuum are we? Because right now I'm saying one thing, he's saying another thing, we're saying the same thing, but I think we're thinking two different pictures. So it's really important that we get together, and we do have a meeting set for early
28.
Okay, 28. Another big area where there is tremendous potential, but it is unclear right now where we might go, and that's in the whole area of information technology. Part of the problem is that we speak Spanish and they speak Chinese. Our IT structure is one wherein we have a centralized unit, CTS, which reports to the provost, which deals with both academic and administrative computing. We do most of our information technology work right here on campus. We have our own programmers for Banner. We modify the programs as needed for our admissions, for financial affairs, for financial aid, for student accounts, for just about all the offices. We do all of our email, although email we do contract out for students, but most of the stuff we manage here centrally with our staff. SUNY Canton has completely different organizational structure. They contract for a significant percentage of their IT infrastructure. There are three centralized SUNY units which handle discrete parts of information technology. Canton has availed themselves to a very high degree with those dispersed SUNY IT operations. Rather than having a centralized IT function, they have dispersed it. So rather than having a group of programmers, such as we do here in CTS, they will have someone in financial aid who is a financial aid officer, but also a programmer. So two organizations could probably not be more different in the area of IT than we are. Recognizing this and asking for help, SUNY Central sent up a team of individuals, including Dave Pawlik, who's the head of IT for SUNY, the directors of three of these dispersed centers that I was referring to, and a couple of veteran IT people from the system, including the IT director from SUNY Oswego. They were up 2.5 weeks ago to study the two campuses and to give us some recommendations about how each campus can potentially improve what we're doing, and also some suggestions about how we can begin talking to one another about IT. So in the area of IT, both President Kennedy and I believe that there's tremendous potential here. It's just that the two are so very, very different. Joe and I, as non-specialists in this area, having a hard time getting our arms wrapped around it. And so we have called in for additional support. Joe has appointed a point person on his side, and we're moving forward as best we can given this. Now, in addition to these ground level conversations, Joe and I have contracted with Jim Samuels, outside consultant, to help us through a lot of these issues. Dr. Samuels has a very long relationship with the North Country. He began working for SUNY Canton back in the early 90s as they were looking at some ways to improve what they were doing. In 2003, the SUNY Chancellor contracted Dr. Samuels and his office to look at ways of addressing the financial difficulties that we were in back then. And he wrote a report on the two campuses, which was submitted to the chancellor, the then chancellor, which recommended the merger of the two campuses. We have been meeting with Dr. Samuels. We have a 3-month contract wherein he will revisit his previous work with the two campuses. He is meeting with my leadership group. He's meeting with the leadership group at SUNY Canton. He's meeting privately with me. He's meeting privately with Joe. He has engaged some members of the community in the conversations. And he will be helping to craft, well, he will be writing his own report about shared services, about the campus alliances. And as part of our contractual relationship with him, he will have a draft of this for us by the 1st of March so that it can inform the report that President Kennedy and I have to submit to the Board of Trustees prior to the 30th of March. I begged Dr. Samuels to give us the draft report by the 1st of March because, as you have now heard, we're going to have our visiting team from Middle States here, and March is going to be kind of shot, as far as I'm concerned, in preparation for that. So I would like to have a little bit of advanced work so that Joe and I can have it well under our belt before we get to work on our report to SUNY. So that's moving along quite well. And then lastly, as I started out, I need to conclude, and that's that President Kennedy and I have been working very closely on this. We exchange a ton of emails. My goal is that he and I meet in person more and email less, because I think we'll get a whole lot more done. At the system level, Provost LaValle has appointed, the Chancellor appointed Admiral John Crane, former president at SUNY Maritime, to assist us in these conversations. And as well, Provost LaValle and also the Chief Financial Officer for the system, Brian Huxley, are a phone call away for any questions which we might have, and they have been helpful in trying to work through some of the more complex issues that President Kennedy and I have been confronting. So that is where we are today.
Thank you, Fritz. Okay, open to the floor. I will need to ask permission.
Okay. How much are we paying Samuels?
We are paying him $9,000 a month for 3 months, split between the two of us.
So SUNY's not paying for it. We are.
We are. We wanted to have the work product. President Kennedy and I, when we discussed this, wanted to make certain that we own the work product.
Okay. And the product is this report.
It will be the report.
That comes to you. Doesn't go to SUNY.
No, we will share it with SUNY, but it comes to us. It is being done at our request.
And what's the salary for the vice president for business or CFO or whatever it's being called?
It's competitive. I would imagine that it'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of what we're currently paying Mike, which is around 175.
So it would seem to me that someone that's going to serve as a CFO for two campuses would require a higher salary threshold than someone who's only going to be ours.
It is negotiable, but that's the target.
So in other words, they're going to get what they're going to get whether they're doing one campus or two campuses.
No, they will get more than they would if they were getting one campus. Our target is around 175. I think Mike makes less than that.
Well, what is Chris Gray make, do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either.
I really do not know.
I don't even know how long she's been there, yeah. So I don't know.
I think Mike makes about 155, 160. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. So we were anticipating that there would be more, and that's why our target is 175.
I'm just trying to figure out how that works when you're recruiting somebody and they don't know what the job really is.
Well, that's the due diligence which the job applicant needs to go through.
Okay. I don't know what I think. Okay.
It's 80 hours a week either way.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
And if the person ends up serving the two campuses, will the salary be equally split between both?
This is
budgets?
Something that President Kennedy and I need to discuss.
Okay.
This is something which has not been made clear what SUNY's expectations is. There are, needless to say, several schools of thought which we have at least begun to think about, if not articulate. Should it be split 50-50? Should it be split on the basis of the size of the budget which the individual is supposed to manage? Should it be prorated by salary?
Or enrollment?
Exactly.
Or,
I mean, that's what I meant, prorated by enrollment or what.
Okay.
So this is a question which we still need to explore.
Okay. Will the report be shared with us when the one that you get on March 1st?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So we'll get We don't have a meeting scheduled prior to it.
We can call this.
I have to run. This is much longer than I anticipated. But, I mean, certainly things are rolling along. We're going to have to see what this report comes out and say.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be able to digest it. We ought to have a meet and then formulate opinion to at least tell you where we feel,
exactly.
How the report feels, before you have to submit to the state. And
well,
and everything happens in March.
And it is my recollection, I've got the board resolution back on my desk. I should have brought it. As I recall, President Kennedy and I are supposed to share our report with you all before we give it to the board of trustees.
That is what
it says. So it will be sometime in early to mid-March when we have our draft ready to share with you before we share with the trustees. So I'm hoping that all of this comes together at more or less the same time.
Well, I guess my only concern is that I'm familiar with how these things all work, and I just hope that as things progress in the January, February timeframe, any obstacles or any solutions that are arising are shared with us rather than, I know we've got a February meeting, but my point is these things sometimes take a course that's almost predetermined, and I like to get a sense of how things are going as you're going through the process. I don't know if that's clear enough.
Yeah, I understand
what I'm looking at, but I just want to make sure that our input is heard.
Absolutely.
Whether it agrees or disagrees.
Absolutely.
And whether it's ignored or not.
And
there.
At least we have an opportunity to.
And the trustees made that clear in their mandate to President Kennedy.
We've made it clear
a
number of times already. We're not so enamored with this overall concept.
I understand.
Other than saving money for the system, which there are opportunities to save
absolutely.
Money. A partial acceptance of the proposal, I guess.
I understand. I pledge to share it with you all before it goes to SUNY and with timely consideration so that you all can have an appropriate response. And I think, I have not spoken to Joe again specifically about this detail, but I know that he'll be doing that with his college counsel.
What I will do, I ask you to try to clear your calendars for March 26 and 27. It is already a request we try to do that. If Middle States is going to be here then, we'll try to clear your calendars now because we may have to schedule a meeting at about that time.
That's an idea.
That's not a bad idea. I've got to run the party for stepping out.
No, that's quite all right. Actually, I'm hoping that, well.
Thank you.
Bye, Howard.
I would like to have our draft done much earlier than that so that we have ample time for consultation. And also, I would be happiest if we actually could get our report into SUNY in time for their March meeting, which is like the 22nd.
I think that's what the resolution says, is the March
meeting. No, and I thought when I...
I'm sorry, it's the other campuses, it says the November meeting.
Yeah. I thought it was rather odd that we're given 8 days beyond when they're meeting.
Their meeting is.
So I've spoken to Joe very briefly about this particular topic, but he also believes that if we could be ready to give it to them by their March meeting, it's probably healthiest, which means...
All
right. It might be closer to the February meeting when he and I at least have our draft proposal.
Okay.
But you won't have the draft report from Samuels until March 1st, or is
that
the deadline?
It's negotiable. Samuels is a kind of fly by the seat of your pants guy. I think we can. He can give us something.
Okay. Did the council get a copy of the resolution that the board passed at their last meeting?
Yes. We sent out all this information is going out. A good deal of the information is going out as part of the College Reporter every week, and I know that I too used to click delete.
Yep.
But if you go through, see the president's report, and that will direct you to a number of other links, and that's where the meat and potatoes are. I believe that went out.
I know I saw it because I saw the release from SUNY, but I just can't remember because I've seen so much stuff. I don't know. I assume the faculty saw it.
I forgot now exactly how I got it, but I know.
Yeah,
that,
I know. I think you got it from ACT, probably.
Yeah, I can give you a copy. I have one.
No, I have a copy. Yeah. I was just wondering because Harold, it didn't sound like Harold was that familiar with it. That's
and I can also
I
get
wondering.
You a copy of the ads. They were in the North Country Now.
Oh, they're in there? Okay.
Yeah, in last week's North Country Now.
This week's.
Oh, whatever week it is.
Yeah, it's actually.
Time flies when
it was out Tuesday night because I was okay, this is now news.
I thought maybe you were applying.
No.
He's got enough headaches, right?
Yeah.
Okay. More questions?
I'm curious to know, did Stacy say why they aren't going to act on the revised presidential speech guidelines?
No. Did not indicate that to me. I had requested that, recognizing we're having this meeting today, I would like to be able to say to people that someone read the resolutions that we sent down there, so could they perhaps give us some heads up as to what we might anticipate would occur next Tuesday, and that was the information that I got. And it came phone call yesterday.
Interesting. That's strange. But I don't think it's bad because I think the proposed changes to that they were supposed to consider this week are even worse than the previous proposed changes as they relate to the college councils.
My takeaway from it was that there was so much of a flap over process and the manner in which things came out end of last summer, et cetera, that they are being particularly sensitive to the needs to hear what people are saying and address that before action's taken. That's my takeaway. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, I know.
I've got no choice.
That's
the way
okay.
I get through my day.
It's all right. It works. Was Admiral Crane here?
He was here back in early October, whenever Brian Huxley came up.
It would have been that week before the ACT meeting.
Yeah.
I just really wish that you would make a special effort to let the council know when some of this stuff is happening.
It's difficult. I'll be very candid with you, June. We receive visitors from SUNY on a regular basis. I don't know whether you want to talk to Wendy Gilman from the budget office or whether you want to talk to various assistant provosts and come up. Sometimes we don't know until they're here. I certainly will consult with the chair and figure out where that breakpoint is. When Huxley and Crane came up, they came up for one very specific reason. That was to talk to me and to talk to President Kennedy. They wanted to talk to our cabinets. They didn't say that they wanted to meet faculty or students or anybody else. So I was pretty much following their advice on that.
Okay. I mean, and as far, at least as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I don't know about anybody else. It doesn't mean I necessarily need to meet with them, but especially as it relates to this topic, because it's so important to this university. And particularly, you know, when I heard that the trustee was here. Again, I'm not saying, you know, we need to meet with them, you know, but I just think it's important information to know, so.
I understand.
Okay.
I want to camp out in the quad. We'll camp out in the quad.
We'll occupy Potsdam.
By the way, I didn't mention it in my report, but I have asked Casey Nelson and I have asked the chief of police and Chip Morris again to create a task force to tell me just exactly where we are and what we can do. We are on top of that too, on occupying the quad.
Yeah, especially if they start putting up tents and...
They can't in the quad because we have time, place, and whatever it is. We can determine time, place, and nature of the event, so.
You know what's funny is, I love to go camping, and I especially like Rollins Pond, but anyway, if I went up there and set up my camper right now, they would come and arrest me and haul me for camping in a campground because it's closed for the season. Yeah, but you just go downtown and do it. That's right.
Yeah, they go to Ives Park, Springs Park in Messina.
Well, there will be a protest in Ives Park tomorrow, so just in case you're interested. So we're also looking at Occupy Potsdam here.
Just in case.
So I understand that where it's at this particular point in time, there's been no specific direction from systems administration as to, or from SUNY trustees, as to how this is to be done, what it is to look like, or what you do with the money, how it's to be allocated between the institutions. All of that is, at this juncture,
left to the discretion of the chief executive, yes.
And do I understand correctly that in all discussions there's not been any mention of monies saved being stripped from budgets, it's monies saved being retained by campuses to be otherwise utilized?
Every time that I have spoken to the provost or spoken to the chancellor, and I had my annual evaluation with the chancellor back at the SUNY showcase, and I asked that question specifically. She has promised that if funds are saved through the campus alliances, they will stay on the campuses and they will not be stripped. Now, as we know, money's fungible, and if you have to cover a deficit, you got to cover a deficit. But the underwriting hypothesis is that money saved will be reinvested in academic programs and student services.
Do we know what's going on with the other four campuses that were announced at the same time as these two?
Well, they are in very different situations because of the nature of leadership. In the Delhi Cobleskill partnership, Candace Vanko is president and interim president. In the case of
Morris Delhi,
she was president of Delhi. She is now interim president at Cobleskill. In the case of the SUNY IT Morrisville, Wolf Yeh is now officer in charge at Morrisville. The best of my knowledge, the chancellor has not requested that the board of trustees name him interim there yet. So at least in those pairs, there's a single chief executive for the two campuses with differing appointments on each campus. I know that at Delhi Cobleskill, they did have an executive retreat. This would be back in late September, about the same time we had our executive retreat. And actually made a lot of progress. They're looking to combine two of their four presidencies, vice presidencies, excuse me. Interestingly enough, one of them was advancement, which I thought was rather interesting, since that was something that at least Joe and I have agreed needs to be put way on the back burner. But
I suppose it depends how you use that question.
That's true, absolutely. So, but I don't have much details out of that. I got, this was a private email that Candace had sent me back in October.
So she's actually been named the interim president?
I believe she has.
I can't remember. I know Dr. Yeh was just named officer
yeah,
in
charge.
Yeah,
but that's because Carnival had just resigned.
Over the whole issue of the SUNY Alliance and the shared presidencies. It's in the paper, you can read it. He said that he has a long affiliation with SUNY Morrisville and he wouldn't basically preside over its demise by taking part in the shared presidency.
So,
you can Google it.
President Yeh is now officer in charge there. I believe that Banco had been made in. I could
yeah,
be wrong. She
I
might also
know.
Be officer in charge. The,
I don't know.
The difference is
I mean,
one
they
of semantics.
They had a pure vacancy there.
Yeah, the difference is one of semantics since
yeah.
the rights and privileges of officer in charge are identical to interim president.
Yeah. And an interesting thing that the council might find interesting is that in that same resolution that directed Joe and Fritz to work together to, you know, talk about the opportunities and the impediments and the recommendation moving forward, also said that the other four campuses, Morrisville and IT and Cobleskill and Delhi, would have the opportunity until the November board meeting to make their feelings known. And Morrisville was specifically asked to do a report to the Board of Trustees. And as soon as Dr. Yeh was named officer in charge, he informed the college council that they could not meet on the campus, they could not use any staff resources other than to have a normal council meeting. They couldn't discuss any SUNY policies, they couldn't prepare their report using any resources from the college, which as a college council member I find absolutely appalling, especially on an institution of higher education. We're supposed to, you know, express diversity of opinion as well as diversity of color and culture. So I just wanted to share that with you because I find that personally troubling.
Jan, you don't have to, but do you care to add any comment relative to either observations about the concept or observations about the tenor of the sentiment at this moment?
At this moment on our campus, there are a couple of different opinions. There's a camp of faculty who feel that the chancellor is trying to look good in the eyes of the governor by finding cost-saving measures and has come up with this plan that's going to keep a lot of people busy until she eventually leaves and a new chancellor comes and says, why are you all doing this, and puts a stop to it. And that we're spending a lot of time and effort doing busy work that's not going to lead to a lot of changes. There's a number of faculty, because as you know, our definition extends up to the directors of different offices. There's some faculty that are worried about how with the shared, and this is more of a Senate related issue, how if we have a shared position that reaches the level of a director, how do we apply that person to our definition of faculty? Because currently they are, the directors of the offices are our faculty members and are represented on our Senate. So if it's a shared position, how do we represent that person? And the same would probably go for everything else. I mean, this new Veterans Development Officer would come into that play too. Would that office count them as a half person or kind of thing? So
there's a lot of professional level positions that might well
yeah.
end
so
up there.
There's those,
good point.
Those technical things that some of the Senate is concerned with. And a lot of folks have just hunkered down and are quiet. This is one of the most quiet times that I have seen on this campus, which is really bizarre compared to what it was just like 6 months or a year ago, where there were people
people clamoring about all kinds of things, and suddenly everybody has gotten quiet. And I don't know if they're trying to lay low so that they're not a target. I don't know if they're thinking that sort of thing. But attendance at our full faculty meeting, which we just had yesterday, was down dramatically. We literally had 50 faculty members show up at a full faculty meeting. We, and 75 is quorum, luckily we didn't have anything to vote on. It was just reports that people were here. And even, you know, off of that front, Wednesday was a UUP union meeting with a dinner, free dinner, and there were only 30 faculty members who came to that. So lots of faculty are just hunkering down and being very quiet. And I haven't been able to figure out what's happening with that. Even the last Senate meeting, the number of delegates was down a bit. We still had enough for quorum to vote on things, at least at the beginning.
Really. By the time I gave my report, if there were 35 people in the room,
yeah,
I would be
people were, were taking off. So it seems like people are running and hiding, and I haven't been able to ferret out why yet. I've been trying to get some information from some folks and try to figure out what's going on with that. There have been a few folks who feel that this is taking us down the road to merger, and they're not happy with that idea whatsoever. And I've tried to mention to them that, at least at the SUNY purchase, SUNY plenary meetings, Chancellor Zimfer stood up there in front of all of the senators and all of the campus governors' leaders that were present at the meeting, and said, it is by no means going to lead to mergers. It is not our intent to move in that direction. And a lot of people just don't believe them. And part of it might be, and I know I've mentioned this to Fritz, just because of the consultant that we have is the one who in 2003 said, maybe we should move to mergers. I think that that's part of the reason why folks are saying it's like we're preloading, we're fixing the deck or whatever you want to say, that we've had this person who's recommended before, what's to expect them to recommend anything different now? It's like, if they're doing their job, it should be independent.
I will interject that Dr. Samuels was recommended by President Kennedy. I had no connection, had no recommendation to make. Joe said, let's hire Samuels. I said, sure, count me for 50%.
That's interesting.
Do we have copies of those reports? Because you did before a report.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think they've been distributed previously.
I've sent them around. There was also a 94 report that President Irwin did very much in Capitra and shipped off to the Chancellor. We'd be more than happy to share those.
Okay.
Was it the same? The Academy of St. Lawrence or something?
Jim Samuels wanted SUNY St. Lawrence.
SUNY St. Lawrence.
Yeah, do you think
we have to redo all our stations?
Yeah. Think of the cost.
We went through a period of time when we did that on an almost regular basis. Let's not go back to that era, please. Do you think the faculty might partly be nervous about the impending UUP negotiations and what's happened with the other public unions?
I'm sure they are. Campus head of our UUP is two doors down the hall from me in the biology department. So we're both there and we communicate a lot. And it's her feeling that she has been getting some of that fear and concern. And it's sort of the same thing that's happening here with this type of situation. She keeps putting out the information over and over again that negotiations are still preliminary, things are ongoing, we haven't backed away from this, that, or the other thing, and she's been very good about releasing information probably every couple of weeks to let folks know what the status of negotiations has been. And so I don't know if it's bothering a lot of the faculty. I mean, some of the faculty have been here long enough that they know that we may sit for a year or two under the old contract before anything gets ironed out, because no.
God bless Charborough.
Yeah. So, okay. And so I'm not sure that that's actually coming into play.
Thank you. there anything we can do to help?
Not that I can think of right now. Joe and I are moving through it in a workmanlike fashion. But thank you.
Yeah, I mentioned that Fritz had been trying to keep the faculty in the loop about all this and informing us every place that we can. I guess one thing that I would request of the council and Roger is that if some of the information coming to your side that you might be sharing with Fritz, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that information with faculty as well through me, that would be fine, because I know I usually come to these things, but I don't know if you have special meetings or these sorts of things, since I'm just here to report. I'm not actually a member of the council.
I honestly wish there was something more to report on. It's just...
We could give minutes of our secret meetings.
Well, then we'd have to teach them the secret handshake.
Everything is so inchoate, and in some respects, I like it, because thus far they're leaving it to these two guys to sort through.
Right.
As opposed to some preconceived matrix that they're supposed to somehow squeeze into.
They had one of those, but I threw it away.
Okay.
I'm not putting that in the minutes.
No, thank you, Carol.
Stop the recording.
Oh, the provost knows that. He sent me this 5-page form with boxes and things, and I went, get real.
And if they're up to you, Jan, to the people on the council as well, I mean, it's just, there really has been nothing to report other than they had a meeting.
I mean, that sort of goes like with what Fritz was mentioning to you, Jean, is that, you know, there's people coming to campus every week. So you know, if you want one more email in your inbox to say, here's one more.
Anything else? Thank you all for staying.
I don't think we can get the votes necessary to help me.
No, either. I think we just have to stay.
Well, we kind of end it by acclamation earlier, okay?
By fiat.
Maybe the first thing we can do at our next meeting.
Yes, if you're in the previous meeting, yeah. One can.
It's a good one. Well, thank you all very much for your dedication to the college. I
appreciate it.
I do deeply appreciate it. I know that you love the place dearly and you want the best for it. It makes all the difference in the world. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And to you and your family.